Great Master Ma was unwell. The temple superintendent asked him, "Teacher, how is your health today?" The great master said, "Sun face Buddha, moon face Buddha." Sun face Buddha, moon face Buddha. This is case 3 of the Blue Cliff Record, and it's also case 36 in the Book of Equanimity. Ma is Matsu, also known as Baso. This text comes from a much earlier text called the Record of Matsu, which shows that this was actually the day before Matsu died. So he was, you might say, on his deathbed. Nevertheless, sun face Buddha, moon face Buddha. The comment on this, or one comment on this is, even though his intent is that you'll have a place to enter, still it is gouging a wound in healthy flesh. It can become a nest or a den, a nest or a den for all sorts of trouble. Gouging a wound in healthy flesh. In a way, that's what all of our practice is. Gouging wounds in healthy flesh. Nothing lacking. Nothing needed. And yet, we certainly need, because we certainly find that there seems to be something lacking, or something extra, something missing, something not quite working the way it should. Notice, Ma is his family name. He's one of the few ancestors that's referred to by his family name, Ma. Or in Japanese, it's referred to as Ba, is horse, and Su means ancestor. Or so in Chinese, his name is Ma Tzu, and in horse ancestor, or in Japanese, it's Ba So. So you'll see his name either way, and he's very famous. He's said to have had 120 successes. 120 successes. Many of those who you have heard about or read about will have come through his successes or been his successes. He was very vigorous, very forceful, said to have been up over 6 feet tall and very active. He's the one who also has the cases of mind is Buddha, or not mind, not Buddha, and many other cases. So, the day before he's dying, the temple superintendent comes to ask him. Temple superintendent in Chinese temples, and also in Japanese and in Korean temples, there are a number of different positions. So for instance, here at Prairie Zen Center, the temple superintendent is Shojo. or Jim, who's responsible for the whole functioning of the Zen Center and the specific, what should I say, aspects, possessions, and things that are needed to make the Zen Center, the temple, function. That's separate from the teaching function, and that's Great Master Ma, Great Teacher Ma. He was the teacher. And in America, there are some centers like that. At the Zen Center of Los Angeles, they've got three functions as abbot. And they just recently, the abbot or abbess, whatever, she just stepped down and had a successor take over the abbot function, but not the teaching function, and not a third precepts practice function. So it's interesting the different ways to take care of all the things that's necessary for us to function here. So for here, for instance, we have in Sesshin a Tenzo function. That's, and most temples or monasteries had that as well. And there's a Chiden function who's responsible for the altars and the, you want to say, flowers and other aspects of altars. That's a Chiden function. But we do it in the way that's appropriate for our own small place. So, this is the eve of his death. So what is this response he's giving? How are you, sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha? I should say that this phrase, sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha, would have been familiar to some of the residents of the and participants in the temple. There's a text called the Buddha Names Sutra, in which there's, among other things, it's stated that the sun-faced Buddha is said to have lived for 1,800 years, and the moon-faced Buddha lived for one day, one night, and then entered parinirvana. So, nevertheless, though I explain it that way, Buddha living long time, Buddha living short time, that has nothing to do with sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. If we try to understand, grasp, encompass this sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha, be intimate with it in that way, then we don't see what Ma Tsuzen. We don't see why he's willing to gouge healthy flesh in order to accomplish what? In order to demonstrate what? In order to share and reveal what? To demonstrate the life of the universe. Even as he's dying. He had been sick for a while. His personal records, the record of Matsu, which is the various encounters of his life and his various teaching. Been sick for a while, and he passed away the next day, and it was the eve of his death. Don't make it into something else either, that being sick is one condition and being Buddha is something else, who you are, and he's trying to explain that. No. No Buddha separate from sickness, no sickness separate from Buddha. And no sickness, no Buddha, sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. If we get some idea that practice is about fixing certain things, that that's the reason he's gouging a wound, that's still not quite it. Then we think that our practice is in order to get somewhere else, that there is something lacking and we need to improve till we finally get there, wherever that is. Then we miss what our practice is from the beginning. From the beginning, sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. Hakuin comments on this case. Just exclude non-entry. That is enough. There's nothing else. Nevertheless, Tenkei Denson, who's more or less similar time as Hakuin, comments on it. Though fundamentally this koan is gouging a wound, but the dialogue between teacher and student is an activity intended to show a way to enter. See? Is sun-faced long? Is moon-faced short? If we think that way, we never see. Never see sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. Or sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha different? Are they the same? Always it's being this moment, even saying that is too much, being this condition completely as is. So, dying, perfect way to express who we are. Even being somewhat demented, fine. Sometimes cognizant, sometimes seemingly not cognizant. See, our practice, our face is not dependent upon the condition of body, mind, universe. Then otherwise we miss our true name. Conditions are always changing. And yet, we are right in the midst of these changing conditions, cause and effect. When the historical Buddha was dying, he was quite ill, some sort of intestinal disorder. I mentioned this before, based on symptoms in the sutras, particularly the Theravadin sutras, they've actually figured out what kind of intestinal order it probably was. But in any case, he was lying there, diarrhea, leaking in other ways, and yet he encouraged his disciples. He lay there in front of them and he'd encourage them, please face this, don't turn away. This exactly is the Buddha understanding. When in this condition, this is the perfect expression of the way it is. If we believe there's something wrong with the way we are, something wrong with the way things are, then we'll never see this sun face Buddha, moon face Buddha. Despite the fact that, of course, conditions are ongoing changing, and our efforts and intentions to create changes, appropriate and skillful, or harmful and not skillful, are all part of this. Our practice effort is all this universe opportunity. But if we sit or practice in order to accomplish changes, to change conditions, then we get in trouble. It's not that conditions don't change as a result of our practice. That definitely happens. You all can see it for yourself. Sometimes they're what you intended, sometimes they're not. Sometimes you make not so skillful efforts and you see what happens with that too. But if it's about improving, even as we improve, we're trapping ourselves further in self-centeredness. Many of us, or I shouldn't say many, I don't know. Some of us have been with people a day before their death, a week before their death, at their death. We ourselves don't know. Today might be the day I die. This is exactly the perfect expression. Sun face Buddha, moon face Buddha. The capping phrase on that, how fresh and new, sustenance for his fledgling. Right, there's a seat right up here, Kim, waiting cushion. Sustenance for his fledgling. Nice expression. The other capping phrase to it is, when he opens his mouth, you see his guts. Nothing is held back. All is revealed. Nothing is held back. The only thing that hinders us is our own hindrances, if I say it, or our own glasses and filters, so that we miss our very life moment. We miss sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. That's our opportunity moment by moment. There's two nice poems by Dogen that I want to share specifically connected to this. Sun face and moon face are the way. Buddha face and ancestral face are also the way. Face to face meeting is expressing the way. Expressing the way is face-to-face meeting. Right here, directly confronting reality, is the crown of creation. The way is completed with the same red clay, verifying the unique realization in the dawn sky. Who speaks of the great round mind? Simply say, this is it. Simply say, this is it. This is it is intimacy. The intimacy of practice is exactly what Mahatsu is showing. this intimacy, we can say, is all about all of, not all about, all of our practice. All sorts of intimacies, and yet it's all dependent on us, not on any other conditions or circumstances. Some of you have probably read of Suzuki Roshi's dying, and that he was in a lot of pain just before he died, and yet he walking into the Zendo slowly up to the altar. This was when he was, what should I say, advanced stages of cancer. Practicing cancer. Conditions and circumstances are our opportunity of, if I use the word, practicing intimacy, our intimacy opportunities. In fact, that's what our life is about, intimacy opportunities, not just in the ways that we plan, but in all the ways that the universe offers us. Sure, if you get choices, make a choice, choose this, choose that. But reality sometimes doesn't offer choices. Your choices, our choices, don't always turn out in the ways that we want. In describing this intimacy practice, Hakuin says, Hakuin is a master in the, I should say for those who don't know, Hakuin is a master in the 17th century Japan. Tenkei Densan is similarly, who I mentioned earlier, 17th century Japan. Dogen is 13th century Japan. Hakuin says, real students are as careful and attentive as if they are carrying an open jar of oil so as to prevent any spilling, or like pounding rice cakes in a crystal jar. So think of it. Pounding rice cakes in a crystal jar. You have to get just enough to pound the rice cake. Just enough energy, but not too much, not even a drop too much, because the crystal will shatter. Same as carrying an open jar of oil. Don't have to choose to have that, and yet all of our circumstances offer this opportunity of intimacy, attentiveness. And sometimes we get to choose and sometimes we don't get to choose. Choosing is great, not choosing is wonderful, because not choosing is just as perfect, unless we add on, I shouldn't have to deal with this, I shouldn't have to deal with that. Matsu could have said, I shouldn't have had to deal with dying. Buddha could have said that. So, Dogen seems to have liked this sun face, moon face, because he has another poem which he refers to it. Within the eye of the sun face is a round moon face. Getting a sutra to put over the eyes, your eyes become a sutra. With practice and mastery, ultimately, nothing is outside. Clouds in the blue sky, water in a jar. Okay. Well, this is our life practice, our life intimacy, our life intimacy opportunity, because though nothing is in the way of intimacy, sometimes it seems to be, and we need to make our effort, our manifesting who we are in the midst of arising, passing conditions, manifesting our life. Okay, I'll stop here and see if there's anything to say. If you want to change your position, feel free to.
I shouldn't have to deal with this poison ivy.
Great. You shouldn't have to. Nevertheless, because shouldn't have to is also included. The thoughts and feelings I shouldn't have to also are also included. They just arise as well. And nevertheless, we do what's called for right now. Unless we entangle and shouldn't have to, get upset and angry and blaming and so on, and then we miss, and then what we get to deal with is our entangling upset. That too is fine to deal with. See, we never escape the intimacy opportunity, and yet we can miss it very easily.
Now she says.
Well, I
didn't need them when you were talking, but now she does.
Maybe that was the way she planned it.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Or shall I wait for her?
No. Well, it's up to you.
No, it's okay. She doesn't listen to me anyway. There's a difference between blaming and taking responsibility.
Uh-huh.
We tend to shirk responsibility by blaming, being responsible, responding to. And I learned a valuable lesson in this session just recently about not paying attention and about taking on too much responsibility and neglecting details. And the lesson that I learned is it's not a good idea to kill the attendees.
What?
To kill the attendees. If you don't mind my... may I?
Sure.
Okay. I neglected to notice that Julie on her application said she's deathly allergic to peanuts and cashews. Just didn't notice it. And peanut oil was added to the lunch today. And next thing we know, Julie's on her way to the emergency room. And I had a very interesting mini session up in my room after she left.
Yeah.
Taking responsibility.
Yeah.
First I came to you and wanted to take the blame. But being the teacher that you are, pointed me in a very different direction. I was responsible for that. And I learned from that. And I regretted it. But no one's to blame.
Mm-hmm. We tend to take blame and entangle in it. And by entangling in it, we avoid the intimacy of this moment of
our... being responsible, responding.
Yeah, and of being present with whatever, including pain and other circumstances that arise. It's easy to get into blame or even anger reactions. Easy, because then it, in a sense, distracts us. Even as it's causing more suffering, more harming, It distracts us from being this moment, ongoing, changing the way it is. And the way it is cause and effect in terms of things. I won't even say, well, I'll say, but I won't say, things that so-called we did and so-called other people did. Because we're in this nexus of all sorts of cause and effect. And yet it's all this moment intimacy that we need to do our best. Doesn't mean that doing our best won't result in a car breaking down in the middle of the road or running out of gas or whatever.
Well, if I may?
Yeah.
And I noticed that blaming is, in a way, in a funny sort of way, blaming is trying to let ourselves off the hook.
Mm.
Trying to mitigate responsibility, trying to avoid the practice effort of responding skillfully and appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Because blame closes the door to
mm-hmm.
our options, closes the door to our perception of what's
mm-hmm.
going on and what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And luckily, Kim jumped right in and said, "I'll take care of it," and took
yeah.
Julie to the hospital. Whereas in that moment, I was wrapped up in blame.
Hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm good.
Yes.
I've got one on the other end of it.
The other end?
I was getting super fast and doing the dishes, and I flipped a ball up in the air and it shattered all over the floor. And Faye was standing, you know, she was not facing me, and so her back was to this whole mess. And Shoujo, you know, instantly kind of went and got the broom, and there wasn't a chance to even think of, oh, you know, like, it's like, we gotta pick this up, like, this is a big mess. So that's kind of, we just had to respond
yeah.
at that moment and get it taken care of.
And then to take, with all of this, to take Hakuin's reminder, it's like walking with a jar full of oil or pounding the rice cake in a crystal, where we have to pound just the right amount. And if our mind, our body, mind functioning is not here, then our pounding cracks the crystal of life. How doing the right amount is, in a way, ongoing practice. Though we're not using Orioki this session due to the circumstances of attendees, etc., and so forth, the meaning of Orioki is just the right amount. Just the right amount. Not too much, not too little. And yet, too much, we take care of that. Too little, we take care of that. Too much, too little, what's too much, what's too little, who knows? Because what's too much one moment is exactly right, or what's exactly right becomes too much. It's said, since I mentioned it earlier, before the Buddha died, several, I think it was weeks, but it doesn't matter the amount of time before. The Buddha three times inquired of Ananda, his attendant, about his illness and about whether, you know, he needs to stay on. Three times he gave Ananda the opportunity to ask him to use his energies. At least that's what the Theravadin Sutras say. To extend his life, and Ananda didn't do it. And he said the Buddha will do what's best, etc. And then when the Buddha was dying, Ananda said, you know, please, please use your powers, please don't die now. And Ananda, and the Buddha said to him, no, three times I gave you the opportunity, now this is what's happening. So Ananda became very distraught that he had done something wrong, and that he, you know, and he said, it's terrible that this is happening. And the Buddha said, no, this is perfect. This is exactly fine. You didn't do anything wrong by not asking, and you didn't do anything wrong by this happening. It's just exactly perfect. This is the teaching from the beginning. All things are impermanent. Everything that's born dies. Or say it differently. Everything that comes into existence ceases to exist. And ours is to be in the coming into existence, into the ceasing to exist, to be that intimacy as it is, as is, and to do what's appropriate. Do our best. Nothing is outside. Nothing. Nothing so-called my condition, nothing so-called other conditions. This is it. This is the opportunity of intimacy, of directly embracing reality face to face. Face to face has nothing to do with faces, but it does have to do with faces when it's people. Face to face. That's, in a way, that's what Sanzen is, face-to-face meeting. Another way of expressing it in English. Sanzen is considered penetrating Zen. That's what our practice is the intimacy of sitting upright, penetrating reality is Sanzen, is this non-thinking, non-doing intimacy that is who we are, that is our life, this effort right now, doing exactly our life. That's sitting upright, non-thinking, sitting upright, being intimate, being this, being just this moment. Many ways to express it. Each of them has their own, what should I say, linguistic tendencies for us to go off in one direction and another direction in how we try to conceptualize them, which gets us in trouble. But just doing it is our practice, and that's why my words now are just encouragement for you to do your sitting and your ongoing practice, walking, eating, and so on during session, during this being intimate, heart, mind that we, you are. Okay. Thank you.